As a father who's had the marvelous privilege of being able to adopt two wonderful kids, I just love adoption stories. I just, every one of them is a special story. And I think my two are my favorite, but I just love adoption stories. And so this video really touched my heart in just a variety of ways. I found myself relating to this mother in this video when she said that we just eventually learn to live with our broken hearts, believing it was just the way it was going to be. And I can recall moments like that in our marriage and in our pursuit of being parents. And after she said that, we saw in the video where it turns. And she says, until it wasn't. And then we watched her pick up just that beautiful, adorable daughter out of that bassinet, right? And it moved us from maybe crying tears of sorrow, feeling bad for them, to all of a sudden crying tears of joy and being happy for them. And so when we look at a video like this, I ask, why is it that whenever we face some sort of situation where we just think it's completely hopeless, why is it that we so easily just toss in the towel or wave the flag and just say, it's just the way it's going to be? I'm sure we can trace this kind of reasoning all the way back in the lives of humans to the years before Christ, B.C. You see, for hundreds of years, the Old Testament prophets, they were writing prophecies concerning the Anointed One, the Promised Deliverer, the Messiah. And with each prophecy that they were given by God and giving to His people, the people would hear this and they would get excited. And they were longing for this man, this one to come. It's a time of great anticipation every time they heard from God about this man. And then for 400 years, silence. They heard nothing. And as each year ticked by, you can just imagine people who are living under oppression by a powerful Roman Empire, that they're eventually learning to, we'll just have to live with our broken hearts. It's hopeless. We think we have it bad when the government tells us something like, until you get a real ID, you will not be able to fly anywhere come October 2020. How many of you already have your real ID? Real ID. Okay, the one with the star on it already? Okay? The rest of you are procrastinators like me, right? Here we go. We got to get these. And we think it's bad that our government's putting this upon us. We know it's for some safety reasons. We get all that. But they don't live in Chicago. And they don't have to deal with the DMV in Chicago. And so we have to go to the DMV to get this real ID. And it's probably going to take us 3 hours. Just plan on that. My advice, go to Lombard. All right? Don't go to Schaumburg. It'll be a lot quicker, okay? That's what I'm planning to do, but I'm not telling you the day I'm going to do that because I don't want to have to wait in line behind you, all right? But we think, man, this is bad. Our government's doing this upon us. It takes 3 hours, but friends, the government during that time, they told God's people, get up, march, go to the place where your ancestor was born, stand in line, and get registered. It didn't take 3 hours. It took months. Months. Aren't you thankful we don't have to go to the place where our ancestor was born 28 generations ago to get our real ID? But that's what God's people had to do. So we don't have it really so bad here. This was a taxing process at this time, and it's no pun intended. It was oppressive, miserable times for God's people. And many of them were settling in, concluding, this is just the way it's going to be. But there was a woman. She was a virgin. She was pregnant with child. And she and her betrothed were told by God's messenger that it wasn't just the way it's going to be. In the opening chapter of John's gospel account of Jesus Christ, he emphasizes the incredible good news to us, to all who receive this ultimate gift that she knew she was bearing. He says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And God certainly could have continued to use new birth language like the Apostle John was using in these two verses to explain how he saved us and explain how he made us a part of his family. But God chose also to use adoption language to speak to us as his adopted children, those who are a part of his family that way. And so today we are going to focus in on the gift of adoption and look at that from the scriptures. And it's my prayer that you will be amazed that God loves you, that you'll be amazed that he saves you, that he makes you his child. And so before we look on in the scriptures here, let's pray for the Spirit of God to teach us the Word of God. Would you join me? Father, thank you so much for your Word. You provide us comfort and encouragement and hope and peace through the pages of Scripture. We're grateful for it. And I pray, Lord, that we would truly be amazed of your love, the salvation you provide us through Christ, the fact that we can call ourselves confidently through faith in Jesus, your kids. And Lord, I pray that as we're amazed at that, that the only way we would respond would be just to give you all the praise and the glory that only you deserve. So teach us your truth this morning and transform our hearts with it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The same apostle. Later on in some of his writing, he was talking about these truths of being a part of God's family, being his children. And in 1 John 3:1, he says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called, what church? Children of God. I mean, he could hardly believe that a holy God would refer to us as his kids. He could hardly believe that he could refer to a holy God as his father. And so that's what he's writing here. And as he's writing this verse, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. It's almost like at this moment while he's writing this that he just stops. He thinks about that. And it's just like, am I really awake? I mean, is this really real? Like, did he pinch himself or what here? But we see what he writes immediately after he makes this declaration. He's just amazed. He says, and so we are. He was astonished at this truth. And do you blame the apostle whom the Lord loves to respond this way? We should all marvel at this glorious truth. Amen. I mean, let's acknowledge this together this morning. It's nothing short of a marvel that the holy God is willing to be in a family relationship with sinners like me and like you. That is marvelous. He is a glorious Savior, a good Father. And so as his children, you and I, we need to respond this way. First of all, praise the Father who predestined us for adoption. We're going to be looking at a couple texts together. Two primarily, and I'll throw one of them up on the screen just to kind of help us all stay on the same page here. But I invite you to open your Bible to Galatians 4. So we're talking about the gift of adoption. It just radiates through this chapter, Galatians chapter 4. If you didn't bring a Bible and you need to use one, there's one underneath the seat in front of you. You can find this chapter on page 1035 in that Bible. But Galatians chapter 4, I'd like to draw your attention to verses 4 and 5. This is the Christmas story at its finest. It says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. What we've read here in just these two verses is the Father planned for our adoption. The Apostle Paul's writing that here. If you would just turn one page over in your Bible, I'm sure you'll hit this text, Ephesians chapter 1. To these people, he writes similar truths about the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll just begin with the first verse, where it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Galatians 4, Ephesians 1. We can conclude from God's word here that adoption was a part of God's plan. And friends, it was plan A. It was his idea. He did all this for his purposes. It was never plan B. God didn't discover against his plan and against his foreknowledge that those that he created and put in the Garden of Eden had sinned. And then, oh my, now what do I do? Oh, plan B, whip up a new plan, and that's what I'll do. I'll send my son to redeem them. It was always a part of his original plan. Plan A. The Father, verse 5, predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. And if you look at that verse in the context with the one right ahead of it, the Father did that before the foundation of the world. We've spent a lot of time in our beginning series looking at the first 11 chapters of Genesis and focusing in at the start of that series on the creation week. And before any of that was spoke into existence, this was already God's plan. The Father predestined us for adoption. He saw that we would be sinners, planned the death of his son so that our sins could be forgiven, his wrath removed, and that we could be adopted. So when we hold true to this truth, that it was his plan, he predestined us for adoption before the foundation of the world, it means that our adoption is not based at all on how you or I look. I'm kind of thankful for that, are you? Our adoption is not based at all on how much you or I are worth. It's not based at all on what our gifts or our abilities are. Our adoption into God's family is solely based on his grace. Nothing different. So we praise the Father who predestined us for adoption. Secondly, we praise the Son who paid for our adoption. If you have ever adopted a child or you know someone who has, you're close to them, you're probably aware that there's a lot of costs that go into adopting a child, significant costs. There's all kinds of financial fees. As you saw in the video, adoption's an emotional journey. There's a lot of ups and downs and twists and turns and everything in between. It's a time-consuming process. You heard that mother say that. They all went to their classes. They all had their babies, and I'm still waiting for mine. It's a lengthy process, but you know what? It's worth it, no matter what the cost. But when we put this concept of adoption that we've seen on this video into perspective, spiritually speaking, The cost to adopt us into God's family was infinitely greater than any cost a family will endure in either adopting children or raising children. The Son paid all the costs. Go back to Galatians chapter 4. Let's look again at verses 4 and 5, and let me draw out a word there I want you to focus in on. It says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law. Here's the word, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And so as you look at that word redeem, it literally means to set free by paying a price. And you wonder, well, what was the price? What was the cost for our adoption? Well, if you would go back one chapter to Galatians chapter 3, Paul alludes to the cost for our adoption in this verse 13. Galatians 3, 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Here's how, here's the cost, by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who's hanged on a tree. Our Savior Jesus, he didn't do any of this because he thought that we were just cute little orphans and he was attracted to us and I've got to go and I've got to rescue all these cute little attractive orphans back into the family. The Bible tells us very vividly there was nothing righteous about you or me. There was nothing good about us. There was nothing godly about us. There was nothing friendly about us. In fact, the Bible says it was just the exact opposite. It says we were enemies of God. We are guilty sinners. We were by nature children of wrath. And yet look at what the Son did for us. Let's go now to Ephesians 1. And let's pick up with the end of verse 4. And let's read a few verses to here. It says, in love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purposes of his will, verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace which he lavished upon us. So when we think of the price the Son paid, he had to die on the cross. He had to shed his blood for our sins so that we could be set free and adopted into God's family. And if this is new to you or if you've not heard it explained this way, you might be wondering, well, why did he have to die? Well, because the word tells us that the law of God demands that the penalty of sin is death. And so Christ took that death. In verse 7 of Ephesians 1, he took it according to the riches of his grace. He willingly gave up his very own life to satisfy the Father's legal demands for our sins. So when we think about all the price that was paid for our adoption, our adoption, friends, church, it didn't cost us anything. It was a free gift that we received by faith, but it cost Christ his very own life. And today, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, you can joyfully say, as Paul is writing here in Galatians 4, Ephesians 1, that you currently possess redemption. And it's all because Jesus, the perfect, spotless Lamb, ransomed, removed, and released us from the penalty and the power of sin. And through his shed blood and death on a cross, we are set free. This means you and I, we don't have to fear death anymore. We have hope beyond the grave. We stand before God justified. Just think about that this morning. We are no longer accused. Because of Jesus Christ, we're declared righteous. We stand before God reconciled. We're no longer enemies. We're his friends. We stand before God adopted. We're no longer, as Galatians 4 will say here, we'll look at it shortly, slaves, we're sons. We stand before God, verse 7, redeemed. No longer slaves, instead set free. Praise the Father who predestined us for adoption. Praise the Son who paid for our adoption. Lastly, praise the Holy Spirit who guarantees our adoption. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 6. Galatians 4, verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Once we're born again, through repentance of our sins and faith in Jesus Christ, God adopts us into His family. We never have to wonder if God loves us or if He accepts us anymore, because the Bible tells us in places like Galatians 4, verse 6, Romans 5, verse 5, that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who He has given to us. And so when He pours the Holy Spirit into all who believe, the Holy Spirit embraces that person. They seal them into God's family. They secure the adoption. It's amazing truth. Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus was on this earth and was beginning His earthly ministry, He was baptized in the Jordan River. And that text in Matthew 3 tells us that God the Father, at that baptism, when He came up out of that water, He anointed His Son, Jesus, with the Spirit. And He declared with an audible voice for all to hear, "This is my who? Beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And you want to know what's awesome? Is when you think of Romans 5, what we just looked, when God pours His Holy Spirit into the one who believes on His Son, Jesus Christ, He is declaring with that moment, "This is my child." The Holy Spirit gives each of us a legal standing as God's children. Galatians 4, let's look at verse 7, but let's add 6 to it here. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. These two verses are important because Paul writes about this to other believers in Romans 8, and he says it this way: "You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry," here's that phrase again, "Abba, Father." The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And so you may be going, okay, what's Paul getting at? He's used that phrase in Galatians 4. He's using that phrase in Romans 8. What's the teaching here? He's saying the Holy Spirit, when He's poured into our lives as believers, enables us to cry out like Jesus Himself cried out when He spoke to His Father. And Christ cried out this way. You recall in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He's about to bear our sins on the cross and be betrayed and go through all of that, He prays in that garden before His Father, asking, "Is there any other way I can redeem these people? Nevertheless, not my will be done, but Yours be done." And in that prayer, He cries out to God and He refers to Him as Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic word. It's a term of endearment. It's a phrase that a child has the right and privilege to use with his very own father. This is how Jesus referenced His Father. And when the Holy Spirit is poured into the life of those who believe, they too are God's kids and can refer to God the same way as His very own Son Jesus did. Abba, Father. At the end of Galatians chapter 4, verse 7, it talks about if we're a son, then we're an heir through God. I learned that in Roman law, the one being adopted was removed from his previous family state and placed in a brand new relationship as a son to his new father and thus new family. If the son had any debts from his previous family, those debts were canceled, and a brand new life with a clean slate was part of the benefits of being adopted. This adopted son was now under the control of his new father and responsible only to him. It was normal for this newly adopted son not only to formally be recognized as a new son in the family, but to also become a rightful heir to his father's estate, just as if he were a blood relative. Talks about this in Galatians 4:7, talks about it as well in Romans 8, verse 17, where it says, as God's adopted children, we're fellow heirs with Christ. Do you know what that means, church? It means his riches are now our riches too. So when it comes to the gift of adoption, what I'm hoping you're walking away is, this is a gift that we are receiving that we could never attain on our own. We receive a legal standing and relationship with the Father that entitles to us all the rights and all the privileges that belong to his very own son, Jesus Christ. We can't attain that on his own. That's why we call it a gift, the gift of adoption. God chose us. He adopted us. We're now in a close, personal relationship with him through Christ. With this wonderful gift this morning that we celebrate, friends, we have what every child desires: to be known and to be loved by the Father. We have that. For those who are in Christ Jesus, our eternal home is secure. We're brothers and sisters in God's forever family. Adoption brings us into a permanent relationship with God. And guess what? Brings us into a permanent relationship with the other children of God, all those who believe. And it doesn't matter what their age is. It doesn't matter what their nationality is. It doesn't matter what their economic or political background is. Adoption brings us in a permanent relationship with the Father and a permanent relationship with one another. It's a gift. And so I ask you this morning, friends, are you adopted by God through Jesus Christ? Can you say today with confidence that you belong to the family of God? Amen. You might be thinking right now, yeah, right, me? Belong to God? You don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how much I've messed up. God doesn't want me. There's no chance I can stand to be a part of his family. It's just the way it's going to be. Maybe that's you, or maybe you know someone that's thinking that way. But you know what, friends? It doesn't have to be that way. God has already showed you his love for you. We've looked at the Christmas message together. Let's do it one more time. Look at verse 4 and verse 5 of Galatians 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth a son, born of a virgin, to redeem us and to adopt us as his own. And God promises in his word that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. That's why I say it doesn't have to be that way. Don't leave this morning without trusting in God alone to save you, to become a part of his forever family. He offers to you this Christmas, friend, a gift that's greater than any gift that's wrapped and you're going to receive in just a few days. He offers to you this gift of adoption. And when you put your faith, your hope in Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, you receive peace with God. You will have security. You will know forever that the Father unconditionally loves you. He will forever keep you. He will save you from eternal death in the lake of fire with Satan. You will immediately receive the Holy Spirit in your life, and the Holy Spirit guarantees that you are a child of God. And right now, Christ is with his Father, And he's doing what he told his disciples he would be doing, preparing a room for all who believe in him. And notice what he promises in verse 18. He promises he's not going to leave us as orphans. He's going to come to us, and he's going to receive us to himself, so that where he is, there we may be also. And so as recipients of this inexpressible gift of adoption that we've looked at from the word this morning, it's imperative for you and I to praise the Father who predestined us for adoption. Praise the Son who paid for our adoption. Praise the Holy Spirit who guarantees our adoption. As God's children, it's important for us to be advocates for adoption. And there are so many ways we can practically do this. We can prayerfully consider opening our homes to children who are in need. That's a way to be an advocate. We can prayerfully consider making a contribution to someone that we know who's in the process of adopting a child. Or we can prayerfully consider making a contribution to an orphanage that's caring for children or to an adoption agency. There's a lot of ways that we can be advocates. But you know what? Let's not just limit it to that. But just think about your own church family. You can, friends, in the next coming days, adopt someone into your family to celebrate the birth of Christ because you're aware they don't have family to go and celebrate with this Christmas. That'd be a great thing to do. And so if the Lord lays something or someone on your heart that you can practically do to be an advocate for adoption and celebrate this great gift that God's provided us through Jesus Christ, be sure to do that. Your lives will be blessed. It's my prayer we remember as we leave from here together and go into this week to celebrate the birth of Christ, that we will remember how awesome it is to enthusiastically be able to say, I am adopted. Every one of us who knows Jesus, we are adopted. That is a privilege to be able to say, I am adopted. I'm a child of God. That's a badge of honor. It is so awesome to be able to say, He is my Father. May we celebrate His Son's birth well as a church this week. Father, thank you so much for your amazing love and grace. These gifts that you have given us are so great. They're greater than any physical gift we could line up and compare. We are blessed people in Jesus Christ, rich beyond rich, full of hope. We're so thankful. And I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't make the Christmas season anything what it's not to be, but that we would make it all about Jesus Christ and celebrating his birth. Father, help us to rejoice and to give you the praise, be able to walk out of here with confidence knowing we're adopted. We're children of God. You are our Father. We're loved and cared for in a greater way than anyone else has ever loved and cared for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Help us to give you all the praise. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.